This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
This is Jerry Rice. It's 3 o'clock. Michael, Donnie, and Peter are coming your way. The Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thank you, Jerry, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a Wednesday. It is December 9th. It's 2020. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg with you. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that is certainly your responsibility. Hope you're having a great day. I just got to tell you a quick story that I actually relayed to Don via text today. I didn't tell Peter this.
I didn't hear this yet.
So when Rick DiPietro sent the text yesterday that got me cracking up, the one about Peter, and then I sent it to Don, right? So a lot of people on Twitter, the Michael K. Show parody account, they had the moment when Don saw the tweet or the text. And I got to tell you, I was watching it at about 12:30 at night. I'm in bed. I'm looking at my iPad. Jody's sleeping. And I start giggling and laughing out loud. And I don't laugh that much anymore, but I could not stop. It is so funny. It's so perfect, his reaction. I don't know if you've seen his reaction, Peter.
Oh, no, I
saw it. It's slowly like a teapot that's starting to boil. And his face gets redder and redder. And he's legitimately laughing. I just thought it was one of the great moments. So if you're feeling down, anybody out there within the sound of our voice, if you're feeling down over the next couple of days, just watch that. It's on Twitter.
It's beautiful.
It's hilarious is what it is. Unfiltered joy by Don LaGreca.
Now, we've got to discuss this in the future because the negative of all this is that I'm getting just harassed on Twitter to reveal what DiPietro text.
Cannot do it.
And you can't do it because it's just not on brand. But it's fine. It's not the end of the world, what was said. But, you know, you want to try to keep things, you know, to ourselves here. But it's just driving people crazy. I wish there was a way, like if we did a podcast or something, or some way that we can let the audience know the brilliance of Rick DiPietro in these texts. But
it's so funny, too. I was thinking about it. Even Howard Stern, congratulations on his new 5-year deal with Sirius. Even when he was on terrestrial radio, he would have been able to say that. Without a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's totally benign, but it's just off Disney brand. But
not offensive to any one group of people or anything like that. It's just sort of off color. That's well said.
That was very well
also,
done.
Also, I'm shocked that Howard signed that deal.
Why?
I just didn't think he would do another 5. He's been threatening to leave for 10.
But that's part of his gig. And also, he enjoys it. He only works 3 days a week.
That's barely a joke.
And he also said that now that he knows he could do it from home, he has nothing to complain about.
That's a great point. I haven't listened. I go through seasons with Howard, and I've been out of season for about 4 years.
Yeah, me too.
But that is true. I mean, without him having to leave the house, that's incredibly appealing, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they've got it worked out where it looks like he's in the studio because they have a video element to the show. It's great. Congratulations. And it means he'll be doing the show until he's 71. And who knows? Probably sign again.
Well, it just makes you happy when you hear about old guys continuing to work. Because you want to be an old guy who works.
Now, he's certainly much different now that he's gotten older than he was when we first started listening to him, you know, back in the 80s. I remember listening to him in the afternoon coming home from school on NBC when Imus was in the morning and he was in the afternoon. You know, so he's been at this for a long, long time. But he's still young at heart, right? I mean, he's still somebody. You don't get a sense that this is some old curmudgeon.
He's got longevity in his family. His mother and father are still alive.
It's a great
in their 90s.
The fact that both his parents are still alive is so wild when you think about it. And what that says, you're right. He could comfortably work well into his 70s.
You know, I haven't talked to this individual in a good year or so. Do you know that I have a friend that still, and he's my age. He's just turned 53.
I'll be 53 Saturday.
December.
I'm 57. I'll be 53 next Saturday.
He still has all his grandparents.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Now,
so they were doing naughty things as teenagers.
I got to tell you what, and Michael, by the way, I think you could, if you do this right, what I'm about to say right now, you could transition perfect to what we're going to talk about here at the top of the show.
All right, let's do it.
If you're 53 and you have all four grandparents alive, that means you die anything short of 85 and it's a massive failure. I mean, the bar now has been set so high.
Well, I mean, you die of any, like thing wrong with your body. You get run over by a truck.
Right. If you get run over by a truck, you get run over by a truck. But if you just randomly realize you're the one who's sick, when you saw your grandparents set the bar like this,
then you
were
adopted.
That's a very tough standard.
You probably adopted.
Now, how do you transition that?
Well, here's how we transition. Dave Rothenberg, who's part of the new morning show that starts on January 4th, is one of the greatest frauds of all time.
And, I couldn't believe he said this.
Yeah. RJ, do we have the cut, Arj? All right, here's what Dave Rothenberg said on DCR today, which made me throw up in my mouth.
Now, let me just take you, as I heard it, I'm feeding the kids.
Minding your own business.
Right. Nancy had an appointment. I was by myself feeding the kids.
Oh, they call it an appointment now.
And I make, she was getting her hair done. So, okay. Because I don't want my mom calling, wondering what's wrong with Nancy. So then that's what, and part of my day while we're feeding the kids and having breakfast is to listen to DCR. And this is what I heard, Michael.
To say that, if they don't make the playoffs now, it's a disappointing season.
If the
Giants
go 7-9, if they go 2-2 and Washington somehow goes 3-1 or 4-0, I'd be upset, but you'd have to be excited about the future for the Giants.
Now, here's my problem. He's a fraud. He's a fraud. I was telling the guys in the past week how much of a fraud he is. Go Giants whenever they're winning. He gave up on them after like 8 games. Gave up on them.
Well, that's just being a fan.
Okay, fine. But he gave up on them. I've always said this. So this is not something to bother Dave Rothenberg, Don. If a team has no expectations coming to a season, and then all of a sudden they do well, sorry, you have to rejigger your expectations. Well, you don't go back to when they didn't have expectations. They've turned the corner now. If I personally, growing up a Giant fan, if the Giants don't make the playoffs now, I'll be widely disappointed in them. They would have failed. They would have stumbled. They have everything on their side now to do this. And if they don't do it, how could you feel good about the, the future is bright? That's not what you're thinking about.
I'm with Michael 100% here, and I can just say, for me, in my position, after we beat Pittsburgh on Monday, guys, you think I'm going to be all right if they then lose to San Francisco on Sunday?
See, that's the
thing. Now you got to win.
See, that's why I was really disappointed in Dave. Because I guess fundamentally I kind of understand where he's coming from in the sense that this is a surprise and the future's still bright. Like, I wouldn't – if they missed the playoffs, I'd be disappointed, and really, really disappointed. It doesn't mean that I would then, fear for the future. But let's take it a step further, all right? I'm assuming Daniel Jones is healthy, and I think Dave is as well. I mean, he did take the trip to Seattle. I would think by this week he should be healthy enough to play.
All right? I don't think he'll play.
But let's just say he does.
You think he will? Plays. Okay. Right. I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
But part of going 2-2 and part of believing in the future of this team is the quarterback, right? So I don't want to sit there. You win four straight games. You beat one of the best teams in football in Seattle. And then lay an egg against Arizona, who's lost four of their last five. I'm shocked, guys, the Giants are a dog in this game. They're 2.5-point dog. That shocks me. I'm really surprised by that. Arizona's reeling. The Giants are coming off a huge win. I'm surprised there's no respect from Vegas. But still, I'll be disappointed if they lose to Arizona. Even with Colt McCoy, to be honest with you. Because Arizona is not, I don't think, close to Seattle at this point of the season. Because it's when you play them, not necessarily what the record is. And you're home against Cleveland. All right, Cleveland's a very good team, but I don't think it's a fait accompli they're losing. You know, at Baltimore, and then home against Dallas, you just beat Seattle. So why am I thinking 2-2, Michael? I'd be disappointed you go 2-2. Right, you lose to Cleveland and Baltimore. Right, they're probably going to be significant dogs in that game, especially if, you know, Cleveland's 10-3 going to that game. And by the way, they flexed that to a Sunday night game.
Oh.
So that's going to be a pretty important game coming up in a couple of weeks. But I'm sorry, living in the now, if there's a healthy Daniel Jones coming off a win against Seattle, winning 4 in a row, your defense is playing tremendous football. Right now, they might be one of, if not the best defenses in football, how they've played the last couple of weeks. And then you just, and not be just raging if they follow that up going 2-2?
Didn't Mike Tannenbaum think they're going to win 9 games? He said they're going to win
Tannenbaum
out?
Tannenbaum thinks they can run the table. Now, I think that's a little much, but to go 2-2, that means to go 2-2, you're going to lose a home game, right? And the other thing, too, and I text him this. If one of those losses is against Dallas, you're red hot. I mean, Dallas has given up at this point. Troy Aikman accused them of just quitting yesterday during the game, all right? And that must have pained Troy Aikman to say. So if you're going to tell me you're going to pull an 88 when the Giants lost to the Jets on the last day of the season and missed the playoffs to Philadelphia, if you're going to tell me that the Giants 2-2 includes a win and in scenario against Dallas and you lose the game, come on. You cannot be anything but just ragingly disappointed about
that. Now, Don and Peter, do you mind if I call an audible here? Andrew, young Andrew.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. Can you get this fraud Rothenberg on the air?
Absolutely, yes.
No, he's a fraud.
No, because I'm going to say what I think Peter will agree with me.
Don't.
He's not a fraud. Okay. But what he's doing is he's setting himself up for the
disappointment. That's a fraud.
That's what he said. Well, I mean, that's your opinion. It's not my opinion. But if you want to go there, okay.
I'm there.
But that's you're setting yourself up. But that's you, so you're kind of laying the groundwork for, oh, you know, I'll be disappointed. I'll be still thinking about the future because you're worried. You don't think they can do it.
Right. It's like he's asking out the prettier girl, which is the life he lives. I mean, look at his wife.
There
I
has been
understand
moments,
why she's
right?
with him, but you're just ready to be turned
but
down.
But there was, I don't know if this ever happened to you, Michael, because your rotation, again, look it up on baseballreference.com. He had a Baltimore Orioles late 60s rotation.
So Mike Cuellar, Pat Dobson.
You know, Jim Palmer.
And Dave McNally.
Really. I mean, look it up. It just 20 games lock. It was sick. But there were times, maybe Peter can relate, where you asked out a girl, you were in over your head. Where when you got turned down, there was an air of you felt proud of yourself that you at least gave it a shot.
Right. Sure.
You know, you didn't think she was going to say yes. She ended up saying no, but you felt, you had a little spring in your step. Like, I gave it a try. I never dated a Judy. That's not what the Giants are here. 4 in a row, win against Seattle. Again, I don't think they're world beaters, and I'm not saying that they're going to run the table or that they should run the table. But if you're already setting up, if they go 2-2, and Washington, whose schedule, Peter, you know, at San Francisco is no layup, all right?
No.
Home against Seattle is no layup.
No.
Carolina, you got them in your own building, but Carolina is no layup, and you should be able to beat Philadelphia. So
you think?
Why is Washington going to go 3-1 and the Giants go 2-2? Why is that automatically on the table?
Now, I will throw this little nugget out here, too.
Go ahead.
I'm sure it's been discussed. I mean, we were talking about the winner of the NFC least, right, getting in at 6-10. Now, because Tampa is stumbling and Arizona is stumbling, the wild card could come out of it. One of the wild cards could come out of this division if they both went out. And yeah, it would be Washington. If they both went out, it would be Washington who would be the wild card, and the Giants would host a playoff game.
Now, if the Giants were to go 3-1 and Washington run the table and say your one loss was at Baltimore, I guess I can live with that. Right? I mean, I certainly would be disappointed. But right, Peter,
Baltimore didn't look unbelievable.
No,
yesterday.
But I'm
they
just saying that
Baltimore.
You're if you have three games left at home and one on the road. If the Giants were to go 3-1, their one loss is at Baltimore, which is a playoff team, right? And you end up finishing the season at 8-8 after being 1-7, and you close out the year winning like 6 of your last 7 games or whatever it would be, you can't be overly disappointed. If you go 3-1 and Washington goes 4-0 and that one loss is to Dallas, no, then you're disappointed. So there's you just can't make a blanket statement that, oh, they can go 2-2, and if they go run the table and Washington beats us, that you can find some way to live with that. No. That would be very, very disappointing. And you'd be kind of shaken about the future, too, right? Because how did that happen? If Daniel Jones doesn't play well and they lose games because of him, and they lose to Cleveland, the defense plays out of their mind, but Jones throws three picks, then why am I all of a sudden believing in the future if I'm not sure about the quarterback?
Now, we should make note of this. Because everybody looks at Bill Parcells when the Giants turn things around. But a guy who brought professionalism, and Don could speak to this much better than I can, but brought professionalism to the Giants after they were a laughingstock for so long, Ray Perkins, who passed away today. Mm. Ray Perkins really restored order to everything. I think he shocked everybody when he left the Giants, and that kind of opened up the door for Parcells. But this guy had an unbelievable football life, coached in Alabama, a couple of stops as well in the NFL, but had a great career, and just wanted to pay some note to the fact that, you know, a guy that was really significant in what the Giants became, those two championships that Parcells put together, he passes away today, and I think he should be mentioned. He should be spoken about, Don.
Ray Perkins, yeah, you're right. This was a franchise that was just an absolute mess.
Laughingstock.
With the Jim McVay stuff and what happened.
John McVay,
what happened with the miracle at the Meadowlands in 78. And it was just, they were going nowhere. And Ray Perkins got them to legitimacy. They finally beat the Cowboys, which is something they never did in 1980. And then they end up making this great run in 1981. And not only get into the playoffs, but they beat the Eagles at the Vet. And then the next week, they hang with the eventual Super Bowl champion San Francisco 49ers. And then I had forgotten about this, but I was reminded of it because of the Big Blue VCR that you follow on Twitter if you're a huge fan of the Giants, that they end up having that 82 season with strike shortened and all that. They beat the Eagles, but the rumors were that he was going to take the job at Alabama. They carried him off the field. So it was a losing season, but they respected him so much. Michael, usually you never leave an NFL job for a college job.
Unless you're Lou Holtz.
And he was vilified for that.
Right.
But he wanted the Alabama job so bad. But think about just how respected you have to be. And what ends up being a losing season, and you're leaving an NFL job for a college job, and yet the players still carry you off the field on the last day of the season just tells you that there was a lot of respect there. And then Bill takes over the next year. They go 3-12-1. He almost gets fired. And then the next year, 9-7, make the playoffs, win a playoff game. 85, win a playoff game, and then win the Super Bowl on that third year with Bill. But, no, you're right. That put the Giants back on the map. When they made the playoffs, Michael, in 81, that was the first time they had made the playoffs since 63. 1963 to 1981 did not make the postseason. So, yeah, that's and can you believe he was younger than Bill?
Yeah, that's hard to believe. And also, it didn't go real smoothly for him in Alabama, too, because he started to really dismantle what Bear Bryant had built. He actually took down the famous Bear Bryant Tower. And people in Alabama, Bear Bryant is almost a religious figure. They went nuts, and then he fired a lot of Bear Bryant's old assistants. And he just wanted to install a more modern situation. He got rid of the offense that Bear ran, and you know it took him a while, and he kind of turned things around there in Alabama as well. He was a good football man; he really was. And our condolences go out to his family and the Giants family as well for losing Ray Perkins, somebody who was really, really important to their ascension into respectability and then eventually a championship. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years now. Andrew, my friend, were you able to secure us Rothenberg so we can attack him like he's never been attacked?
He'll join us next.
Interesting. Peter, I come to you and I have questions. So, they take Dez Bryant off the field yesterday because he had an inconclusive test, and they took him off the field because they look at his inconclusive as positive. And Then they had to give him another test, which came out positive, so he couldn't play in the game. Before he was taken off the field, there are pictures of him hugging people on the Cowboys. He was dressing in the same room as the Ravens. I give Kurt Menefee so much credit on the Fox pregame show. He's asking Jay Glazer, who's trying to explain why the game's not being canceled, and Kurt Menefee goes, that doesn't make sense. He goes, what about contact tracing? And then they're giving us this all malarkey. Well, he wasn't that close to people. And walking by people doesn't really count as, like, anything that goes against contact tracing. It just seems to me, and I don't know the inside of it, it just seems to me like they're making stuff up as they go along because they didn't want to cancel another Ravens game, and it was a game on Fox. But that just looks ridiculous. The guy is hugging his ex-teammates and coaches on the Cowboys, and those people are not taken off the field? How's that possible?
Yeah, it was a mess last night. That was an absolute mess.
It's a bad look for the NFL.
And I was a little surprised too because I'm assuming Dez doesn't have any symptoms or anything, but he called it quits. He's done for the year.
No, but then he took it back.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah,
when he did that, I was like, "You worked that hard to get back to the league, and now you're going to get frustrated and quit? Do not do that."
Can you imagine how disappointed this kid was? He's 32. This was a game he wanted to play. The Cowboys had released him.
Yep.
He's the all-time record holder for touchdowns with the Cowboys. Not Michael Irvin. Him. This was a game that he had circled on the calendar. And he's taken off the field right at that point. Amazing. And then, but, you know, he wasn't close enough to anybody else. Such nonsense.
There is a lot of things that confuse me. Like, I was watching the news today, Michael, and I'm so happy that they're able to try to find some way for these restaurants to stay open. But they're showing the construction of some of this outdoor dining to the point where it almost seems like it's inside.
That's exactly what they're doing. I'm glad you said that. They're making outdoor dining indoor.
We've had this conversation.
It's a joke.
It's insane.
I want these restaurants to be open. I want them to survive. But you're constructing another indoor dining experience on the sidewalk, and you're calling it outdoor.
Indoor structures outside.
Yeah.
I asked the governor about this. He was on Hot 97. I asked the governor about it, and he said it was ridiculous. He also thought it was ridiculous, but it's happening.
I mean, there's a lot of pressure because these businesses need to stay open. But if you're gonna play these reindeer games, let people go inside. Why should you freeze your butt off?
I mean, it's with the best of intentions. Like, I'm not sure the NFL is doing the best of intentions. I think sometimes they just want to play the game, right? But I understand these governors and these senators and these mayors, they're trying to do the right thing. It's hard when you're trying to accomplish two things. You know, you're trying to be safe, but at the same time trying to allow businesses to stay open. There's going to be a lot of kind of just unavoidable hypocrisy that's going to come from it.
I just don't get people. All right. Now, Peter is younger, and maybe he can explain this to me. Jody was out the other day in our town. And they still have outdoor dining in our town. So it was lunchtime. It was 29 degrees where we live. It was really cold. And there's a guy sitting outside eating. How badly do you not want to be in your home? Why would you sit outside in 29 degree weather to eat when you could be home and eat?
Was he by himself?
Yeah.
That's odd. I mean, he was with somebody. Listen, human contact's important.
He was by himself. Jody actually put it out on Instagram. He's sitting by himself in 29-degree weather.
God, just take the L.
Yes! Like, take the L.
And this stuff right now, restaurants need to be focusing on how to get people to do takeout more as opposed to trying to figure out these fakakta fake outdoor-indoor structures. We gotta roll with the times. We've had 6 to 8 months now to try to figure out how to get ready for this winter. People sitting outside in 15-degree weather is not going to be doable.
Well, join us every Football Friday this season for our Cover 3 Trivia Contest, where we'll give a lucky caller the chance to prove their fandom and win up to $100 to PC Richard & Son and more. It's brought to you by PC Richard & Son for appliances, TVs, electronics, and mattresses. Shop in-store or online and get free delivery or curbside pickup at any location. PC Richard & Son. Shop safe, shop local. Dave Rothenberg is in for it when he joins us in just a moment. So stay tuned for this. It's going to get, I think, ugly. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you, right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael K. Show.
To say that, well, if they don't make the playoffs now, it's a disappointing season.
If the Giants go 7-9, if they go 2-2, and Washington somehow goes 3-1 or 4-0, I'd be upset, but you'd have to be excited about the future for the Giants.
I follow you on Twitter because you're fascinating to me, and Giants have been winning lately, and it's go Giants. Oh, what
that's
a win.
Glorious.
You're a fraud. You gave up when they were 1-7. You can't get back on the
track. I didn't give up.
Oh, they stink. They're terrible.
They were 1-7.
You're out.
They were 0-5 and 1-7.
You can't luxuriate now in the wins if you gave up.
No, you're out of your
that's
mind.
That's just a made-up rule, Michael.
This is my rule.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I was merely playing chess with my children. Now, if I must tell you, it's Smurf chess.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, Donna, I would like to say one thing.
Yes.
Every rule is made up. Somebody makes up rules. They're not sent down from the heavens.
No, that's true.
Depends what you believe.
I guess just made up by you on the fly. You have your own set of rules, and I get that. You're entitled to your opinion. But I'm just somebody. Maybe this is a made-up rule of my own. And I think Peter agrees. I just hate the apologist fan. No matter what, they're always going to tell you, you know, the Jets are 0-12, but they're moving in the right direction. I'm telling you that. It's going to be stop. It's okay to hate on your team. It's okay to rip your team, especially when you're a talk show host. How would Dave sound if he was like an apologist for the Giants at 1-7 telling you, I still think this team is going to run the table? And you would laugh him out of the business. It's okay to be realistic about your team. But the rule that's got to be always in place is you don't give up, meaning you stop watching.
No, I didn't
exactly.
say that.
That's
but
right.
I think you almost have to take a step back because you have given up on them. You could be happy, but don't be like a cheerleader on Twitter and go, oh, this team is great.
Again,
go
just,
Giants!
Again,
exclamation point. You gave up.
But what else should you do at 1-7?
Enjoy yourself, but don't put yourself out there if you put yourself out there the opposite.
But what are you supposed to do?
My only point.
I'm kind of curious to see, as long as you continue to root and watch for the team, what should your attitude be if a team is 1-7?
Listen, if you want to
following
watch
up
the
three
Giants
consecutive
Browns
years
game,
of losing,
Giants Browns game in Tucson Sunday night, right?
Yeah.
You want to watch it new to luxuriate that they beat Baker Mayfield and Brown? Great. Don't tweet out like now you're the head of the cheerleading squad when you gave up on them.
But
you
I
gave
don't
up
know,
on them.
But
publicly,
they want him back.
You gave up.
But no, he's been with them forever.
Giving up to me is when I'm not watching them anymore. I'm done. Like all those phone calls we get from Jet fans. That's it. I'm giving up my season tickets. I'm done watching them. Then you'd be a fraud if all of a sudden they rattle off a bunch of wins and you jump back on the bandwagon. He's still watching. He's still living and dying with the team. But at 1-7, he was giving you his true feelings that this team is done and being upset with them and mad at them after three straight years of losing seasons, more losses than any team in football over that span, then you start 1-7. How much of a fraud would you look like if you're on the air saying, I still believe, I still think this team's going to find their groove, when there was no evidence of that whatsoever?
I'm not saying he should have done that. He was right for giving up on him at 1-7. But
so then what does he do
publicly
now?
Publicly be the head of the cheerleading squad.
So what should he do?
Sit there and be happy that your team is winning, cheer in private, but don't then do a complete 180 publicly after you killed them publicly.
But you
look stupid.
So your logic is, in 2016, when the Yankees looked at their team and said, I don't think we're going to make the playoffs, so let's start trading some pieces, right? Because we don't think we're going to be able to make it, so let's make some trades. Let's trade Miller. Let's trade Chapman, you know, and not that we're giving up, but we just know that realistically we're not going to make it. And then the Yankees make a run.
Right.
What was Hal Steinbrenner going to like root against this team for making a run?
No. I'm not saying John Mara
that they made a run.
I'm saying that all the Yankee fans that killed them for doing what they did shouldn't have then jumped on the bandwagon when they did what they did and go to the seventh game of the ALCS. You got to temper your enthusiasm after you killed them.
I don't think you have to do anything.
Well, that's my rule, and that's what I think should be.
I just don't know. But again, then you believe that as a fan, you should be an apologist.
No.
That no matter how bad your team is,
I'm not saying be an apologist. You should You should kill them when you think they should be killed, but then you can't do a 180 and be their biggest cheerleader. You gave up on them.
So let me follow this logic.
All right.
You have a kid. Your child disappoints you in school and really underprepares, fails a test, you're incredibly down. That when your kid turns it around, are you not able to fully celebrate because you were hard on him?
You guys are doing apples and wrenches.
No, I'm not.
Okay, so if I'm disappointed in my child in school, right, mm-hmm. and I publicly lambaste him mm-hmm. because I think he just can't do it.
And he turns
then
around
when
and
he
proves
goes
you
to
wrong.
MIT. Okay, I would be insanely proud that he turned it around, but I can't look like a complete fraud and come back, whoa, look at my smart kid when I gave up on him.
So you don't believe, so let's just be clear here. You don't believe in people changing their thoughts if they gain new information?
What's the new information? They won?
The new information on the Giants is it looked like they were a bunch of bums. Turns out they actually dug really deep, work really hard, came together, and are doing something. So Dave needs to stick with his old opinion, even though they've presented new information?
This isn't new information.
It is information.
I when the Giants were 1-7, did I say on the air they'll be playing important games in December? Did I?
No.
That's fine that you said
I
that.
I did so, Don.
It was a prediction.
I said that. You don't remember that?
No.
Andrew, did I say that? He's on the phone.
Maybe. Either way, though, Dave's opinion at that time was that this was a team that was heartless and terrible.
Right.
They've proved to be otherwise.
All right. They proved otherwise. And so it's okay to look like a complete doofus.
To change your mind? People are allowed to change their minds.
A doofus is believing it 1-7 would be a doofus. That's a doofus. To me, it's just the logic of it. And you throw out giving up. That's not giving up. To say I don't
he
think
he gave
I don't
up on the air.
He didn't. He gave up on the air because he didn't think the team was any good. He didn't give up. Not like not watching. He still watched every game and he still rooted for him. So he never gave up on being a fan of the team. That's why it's not fraudulent. But it's okay for a fan to go, we're 1-7. This isn't going to happen this year. And then they prove you wrong. So you ended up being wrong, but it doesn't make you a fraud. He didn't give up. Now, if you said, I'm done with them, I'm not watching them, and you know you don't watch and you don't care, and you go apple picking on Sunday and taking the kids out to whatever, and then you read the paper and go, oh, they've won 4 in a row, and then start watching again, then you're a fraud.
Boom.
But as long as you keep staying in touch, but if you just believe in your heart, I don't think this team's any good, that's part of being a fan, Michael. Of just,
but I'm okay with him loving this.
All right. You know what? We got to wrap this up. Enough is weird.
You're wrong. Move on.
I'm not wrong. The Michael K. Show on
98.7 running it up the poll again
is brought to you. No, I don't care about the poll. I don't care about it. I know what I'm that I'm right. I don't care about the poll.
Well, you may not be right here.
So, as a fan, you're supposed to always blindly believe that your team's going to do it.
As a fan, okay, this reeks to me like a Giant fan that doesn't have a radio show. So they're 1-7, and this is not 2020. People are actually at the games, and he starts burning his tickets. Well, I'm sorry, you can't join them. You can't come back on the bandwagon. You gave up on them.
No, well, that's
you
what
gave
he
up.
Said. If you're burning your tickets, then you gave up. But if you go to every game still, but and you look at it and go, I just think this team is bad. I don't think we're going in the right direction. I don't think this team is any good at 1-7.
All right, RJ, I've got a real great assignment for you. I want you to listen to every show that they've done over the last, when they were 1-7, okay. And I want you to pull a clip from him saying he gives up.
That's
so
quite
you can start that now, RJ. We'll talk to you in about a week. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Don't know if you guys saw this, but Adam Gase, Chatty Adam as we call him, spoke with the media today, and he's having a hard time getting over this loss. He also said that he regretted not calling a timeout to change the call and said today that he's had a harder time getting over this loss than most others he's experienced in his NFL career. Quote, at the start of my career, I heard that for 7 years, you have 24 hours to get over it, Gase said. I think the only time I've ever been involved in a loss like this was to end a playoff game, so I could be ticked as long as I wanted to because nobody cares. It's tough. It's tough. Our players will do a good job, and they will respond the right way. They have through this whole thing. As coaches, we have to do the same thing. He still thinks he's going to stay here. I'm telling you. Don and I have had this really sinking feeling this whole time that there's an outside chance he's going to keep this job. Why would this be so debilitating to him? He's 0-11. What's the difference between 0-11 and 0-12? What's the difference? He still thinks he has a chance.
But even if you know you're going to get fired, that's still a gut-wrenching loss. I wouldn't read into him expecting to be back. It's just that you work so hard. And the one thing I will say about him, I don't think he's a good coach at all, but he puts in the work. Okay, there's no the stories about Kotite, you know, smoking cigars with buddies while the team was practicing. You know, that's not happening here. I mean, he's putting in an effort. It just he's not good enough to do it, but he's trying. And when you work that hard and you lose that way, that's going to be devastating. Even if you know you're going to get fired, it's tough to put that kind of work in. Know that what you did was good enough to win. And then have it snatched from you, that's going to hurt no matter what you think your future is like.
The toughest loss of his career?
Michael, that's...
He hasn't had any important games.
Well, Michael, he did have a playoff game with the with the Dolphins.
That's important.
It'll be interesting to see how the fan base looks at it, because if that ends up being a loss that solidifies Trevor Lawrence and Trevor Lawrence becomes the next Tom Brady, then the fan base will look at it as a good thing. But under normal circumstances, that loss was every bit as bad as the Miracle of the Meadowlands with Herman Edwards. Every bit as bad. That's a loss that fans will never forget. You don't lose that way.
Did we lose Don?
I'm right here.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I thought you.
Did you hear me, Peter?
I heard you. Yeah. Okay. It might have been on Michael's end.
But what I said, Michael, was that's a loss that under normal circumstances, without everybody rooting for losses, that you're never going to forget. That's the miracle at the Meadowlands. That's the Herman Edwards picking up the fumble and scoring a touchdown.
If he is disappointed, I think he knows that he screwed up. I mean, I was reading Mike Lombardi yesterday, who said that it was totally on Gase. That Gase was totally disengaged when the call was made. And he also brought up a really good point, that owners now hire specialists. They don't hire CEOs. Because that's what a great coach should be. He oversees everything. But they hire an offensive guy or a defensive guy, and then he hands off the other aspect to somebody else. And it showed that he did not call a timeout or override that call. He has no control over the defense. He's not the head coach.
Well, that's probably what's driving him crazy, and ultimately why he's in charge of everything, Michael. We see the way he's run this organization, getting people fired. He just chooses not to get involved in defense. So I think what's going to irk him is that I don't think he knew the call to call timeout. I think he just completely trusts.
But isn't that an incredible indictment that the head coach doesn't know what the call of the defense is?
Well, is it surprising? When we've seen games where the defense is on the field and he's sitting on the bench discussing offense with players, watching the game because he's not a defensive guy.
If he ever gets another shot at a head coaching job, which I don't know if he will, he shouldn't. He should really reevaluate what he's done, because this doesn't work. You can't hand over one aspect of your. I get a feeling that Joe Judge is part of everything. I do want to anoint Joe Judge. He's going to Canton, but he's part of everything. Nothing gets by that guy. Like, Gase is asleep unless the team has the ball.
See, that's the thing that's going to drive him crazy and ultimately cost him his job, is that, Greg, you handle the defense, I'll handle the offense. Game's over. All year long, he probably didn't pay attention to the calls, because as a head coach, it's one thing to just have guys in charge of other positions, but you've got to know in that situation what the call is and have the ability to say, no, you're not doing that.
And you know who I blame for this? Again, the entire system that the Jets set up to run their team. Lombardi said in this story, okay, that they wanted to hire Matt Rhule. But they told him, you have to hire Greg Williams. I said, no, I'm not going to hire somebody you tell me to hire. I get to choose my coordinators. And Gay said, okay, I'll hire Greg Williams. Matt Rhule is the coach of the Carolina Panthers. He's not just the coach of the offense. He's coach of everything. They wanted to get they should have hired Greg Williams as the head coach.
And that's what's scary to me, not his comments about how he felt about the game. What scares me about this is that that wasn't his guy. Even though technically he was hired after Gase was hired, everybody knows the Jets wanted Greg Williams to be the defensive coordinator. And he was cool with that because he's not a defensive guy. He probably appreciated the fact that he had a defensive expert to handle the side of the ball that wasn't his level of expertise. And he fired him. So that's what would scare me, Michael, is the guy that the organization wanted to be their defensive coordinator had the power to fire him. Now, on the surface, it's going to look like, well, he was hired after Gase. It was Gase's coach. I saw it on Twitter. A head coach is allowed to fire his assistants. But in this case, you knew they didn't hire Matt Rhule because they wanted Greg Williams. Chris Johnson wanted Greg Williams to be his defensive coordinator. And it wasn't Chris Johnson that fired him. It wasn't Joe Douglas that fired him. It was Gase that fired him, which tells me he still has power. Now, maybe that plug gets pulled at the end of the season. But he has it now. So
think about how dysfunctional this is. Chris Johnson, McCagnan, interviewed the coaches. McCagnan insisted on Greg Williams being the defensive coordinator. And then they hire Adam Gase. Adam Gase is smart enough. That's why he still has a life here. He still has a breath. Smart enough to get rid of McCagnan, get rid of Williams, get rid of the president of the Jets, bring in a guy that he's aligned with, and bring in Joe Douglas. So if you think that this guy doesn't have the Kevorka, he's got the Kevorka.
You know what could happen? What was that Seinfeld where George tries to break up with his girlfriend and she just refuses?
Oh, yeah. She won't accept it.
Like, could it be that where, like, Chris Johnson brings him in, all right, we're going to let you go. No, you're not. I'm gonna stay.
I think we're seeing that in even bigger jobs.
Excuse me?
That's my small percentage chance to think that he could come back because it's still one person. Joe Douglas doesn't have the power to do it. Chris Johnson has the power to do it. And he's going to bring him into his office, and can the Kevorka work to keep his job?
Well, hopefully by the end of the season. Well, he's not going to be back by the end of the season when they should definitely have made the decision. Woody Johnson's not going to be back until after the 20th.
Yeah.
Probably later.
But have we heard anything? Has Woody spoken, or is it because of the whole, like, fighting the election that Woody's keeping quiet?
Have not heard from him.
But I would think at some point we're going to have to know what Woody's plans are. Is he just going to come back and take over the team? Is he going to, you know, because I'm not getting political. These are just facts that I think when Trump leaves office, it sounds like he's going to want to run again in 2024.
Well, how are our relations with Great Britain going to continue without Woody Johnson there?
Good point.
But
it's in the war of trouble.
But
we might go back to the Revolutionary War.
So, Peter, my question is, Trump's out of office, right? Biden takes over. Woody's out of a job.
Right.
But does Woody jump back in and run the Jets, or does Woody get behind Trump for the next 4 years for the campaign for 2024 and then take the job back again if Trump were to win in 2024? Does Woody have any intention of coming back and taking over the Jets?
Yeah, he would for 4 years. And then if Trump runs and wins again, I don't know if he'd assign the same diplomats. But
By the way, if the job's that great,
it's supposedly fun.
But you want to do it again? You want to wait 4 years just for the hope of maybe getting to go back to England to have tea and crumpets?
In the places that I've traveled in my life, England's pretty cool.
Yeah, but you have terrible taste. That being said, I also enjoy England, but not enough to like live out my older years there.
It's a job that he wanted, okay? And whatever. He obviously wanted that job and left the Jets to do it and handed it over to Chris. Have we heard
anything? By the way, I'm sorry, Don, I think you made this point once and Michael disagreed. Isn't that such an indicator already of what's wrong with this team?
Well, Rooney did it with Pittsburgh.
The Rooneys did it.
But
I don't think that's an indicator at all.
They did what?
He became an ambassador to Ireland.
Right.
But obviously they had things in place in a much different way.
They did.
This guy's, and that's guy's brother. It's the family's
but
money.
But they were not in good shape when he left.
He gets a dream job, and he's supposed to stay here and fix the Jets?
There was a structure in place.
Your dream job should be to win with the Jets.
Yeah, but that's what would bother me if I'm a Jet fan. You know, you own the Jets, and you decided there's something else I'd rather do for the next 4 years than run the Jets, and I'm going to hand it to Chris Johnson, who wasn't like he was that involved before Woody left. You know, if Chris and Woody were equal partners and Chris was involved in things, if it was kind of a Fred and Jeff Wilpon situation, then maybe you could say, all right, well, then now Chris takes over. No big deal. But, Michael, I'll be honest with you. I work for the Jets. I never met Chris John. I didn't know anything about the guy. We knew he existed, but it wasn't like he was day to day and then he gets handed the thing. You know, so it's not like you left it in great hands. As Peter said, it wasn't like it was great. It was going swimmingly when you left.
It's beyond me, though. Why you can't be the UK ambassador and run the team. Why? I mean, you're not meeting with Boris Johnson. You're not making any important decisions whatsoever. It's a ceremonial post.
But you
Why do you have to give up control of the team?
But you are living in the UK.
Okay, I mean, you're a phone call away.
I know, but still, I know it's mostly ceremonial, but I'm sure there's things he has to do and conversations that have to be had where... the administration is not going to say, well, I can't go to this cocktail party because it's draft night. Oh, well, no, but tough, he can, I'm sorry.
But he could still be the guy who hires a coach.
What's that?
To Michael, he could still be the guy who hires a coach.
He definitely could have done that. That wouldn't have been hard.
To completely recuse yourself from running the
thing. But that speaks to my point. That's part of the problem.
I mean, hand off part of it to Chris Johnson for the day-to-day, but to not make the important decisions does indicate to me he doesn't care that much. Because there's no, it's not like he has to give up his business interest to become the UK ambassador.
Right, I mean, the president didn't give up his business interest.
Don't miss Disney's new movie, Safety, inspired by a true story of Clemson football safety Ray McElrathby. It starts streaming exclusively on Disney Plus December 11th. We'll take some phone calls on this. Toughest loss of... Adam Gase's career, and sorry he didn't call a time. That's the thing that gets me when we talk to Sam, too. Well, we're tightening that up. Well, you know, we looked at the film. Everything is still in process. This is the second year of your existence, if you're Adam Gase. Why is this still stuff that you're working out? 12 games into a second year, and you still don't know what you're doing? Sam is 12 games into his third year. He still makes it, I made a mistake there, but I cleaned it up. Everything's being cleaned up.
Especially
but it never gets cleaned up.
Especially when we were sold at 6-2 that they had it figured out.
I mean, they cleaned up Chernobyl quicker than this.
I have a top five, too.
Really? I didn't know that. Why didn't you say that in the meeting?
I thought Andrew would have conveyed it to you, but maybe...
Is it next?
I dropped the ball.
I didn't see it, Andrew. I didn't see the text.
That's probably my fault. I could have brought it up at the meeting.
Yeah, you were in the middle of doing the Don Show. Anyway, 1-800-919-3776. This is exciting. It's new. It's going to be fresh. It's surprising. It's the Daily Don. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, everybody! It's me! I'm back! And guess what? It's another Don segment!
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don!
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie!
All right. I think we can all agree that what Alex Smith is doing is tremendous. Coming back from a near-death experience to now be the quarterback of a team vying for a playoff spot in the NFL. So maybe think about, in the four major sports, players that overcame injury or illness to make a comeback to continue their career at a high level. And where would Alex Smith fit in that top five?
And is he in there?
Yes.
Can I go first, Michael?
Sure.
I would like to say Mario Lemieux Hodgkins.
Mario Lemieux is number two. Good pull, Peter. Not only did he have lymphoma, but he had a spiral disc herniation, a chronic hip flexor that forced him into retirement in 1997. He came back in 2000, played five more years, not nearly at the level he was before, but still a two-time All-Star in those 5 years and still an outstanding player until finally retiring because of injury in 2006. Mario Lemieux, Le Magnifique, number two.
Well, I mean, my guess would be Alex Smith. If he's not number one, the whole list is fraudulent.
Well, he's not number one.
Oh, wow.
But he's number five.
Oh, okay. Wow. You know what? Stop.
Let's see where this goes here. Now,
who are you taking out?
Obviously,
I'm taking out anybody when it comes to Alex Smith.
Been through a lot. And we'll see how it all works itself out. Just getting on the field was a major accomplishment. And now he's playing, you know, at a level where I agree with Michael that he's probably better prepared for this than Daniel Jones is.
It's unreal.
I have him at number five, and certainly a work in progress. And if he ever found, you know, continue to play in the next four games the way he's played, he's number five with a bullet.
Now, think about it like this. Last year, he was stuck sitting in a suite eating oatmeal raisin cookies with Dan Snyder. Now he's down there with Chase Young and Montez Sweat winning important football games. Right there? Right there? All right. Injury or illness? God! I know there's like a really massive one staring me right in the face.
Would you like
Don,
me to go?
I'm going to ask for one thing. Sorry, it's sort of like the phone a friend. Can I get the sport breakdown?
Oh, we've got a football. We've got two baseball.
Okay. Go ahead, Michael. You can go ahead.
How about Bo Jackson with his hip?
Mm-mm. No. I'm not sure.
Didn't even think about it. No. The part. What about the comeback part, yeah, Michael?
We got the
injury. He came back.
Came back
and hit a home run in his first game back.
Yeah, but it wasn't the same.
He put the ball on his mom's headstone.
Well, it's a touching story.
If he had come back to play football, then that'd be something.
I love baseball. You said it was a baseball guy. That was my baseball guess.
And I also said it was a football guy, so. No.
Dave Winfield, back surgery. Played many years after that.
Didn't even enter my mind.
We're losing. This is going to get ugly fast. And guys, I apologize. I have mango stuck in my teeth. I'm working on it.
I think Michael should definitely get the baseball guys. Peter would not get one of the baseball guys.
I wouldn't get either of the baseball guys?
The football guy you'll agree with, but probably completely forgot.
Can I get a position on the football player?
Oh, we've got a running back. I'll even give you the year the injury happened. 1999.
Well, then I should get this. Injured in 1999. And
similar to what happened to Alex Smith.
A leg shattering.
Broken ankle, infection. They had to reconstruct the ankle. Missed two full seasons. Came back to rush for 1,200 yards in 2001. And then played four more seasons after that.
Wow.
They had to rebuild the ankle bone with parts of his knee.
Oh, God.
It's like the game Operation.
Right. Except not.
How about for baseball, because, you know, you're so beholden to Nancy. How about Buster Posey?
Well, Buster Posey was a great story, Michael. He broke his leg getting hit against the Marlins at home plate. Not only did he win the comeback player of the year the next year, Michael, but he won the MVP. Phenomenal.
But not on the list.
No.
They actually created a rule because of Buster Posey.
No, I understand. Significant. But I don't know.
As catastrophic as
the injury was, I don't think there was any doubt he was going to return.
Tommy John.
See, Tommy John, Michael, that's why it's not the show. It's the Michael K. Show. Tommy John is not only on the list, it's number one. And here's why. He was given a 100-1 shot of coming back after having a surgery that was not by his name, but then became Tommy John surgery.
It was just the surgery.
It was just the surgery.
Right.
But it was experimental at the time. And not only did he come back against 100-1 odds, Michael, but he went on to win 164 games after the surgery in 1975. Also came back to the Yankees and committed three errors on one play, but that's just neither here nor there.
Well, he was
Tommy
like 40,
John.
45 then.
Number one. That's why I said neither here nor there.
Peter, you got to join
Tommy
in
John
on this
one. Mario Lemieux, two. Alex Smith, five.
All right. We have one more baseball, one more football.
Yeah. Peter will not get the baseball.
I might not get it.
Which could be that could be telling for Michael for the kind of the zone it's in.
You're going to kick yourself. You know the name of the football player. You're just not thinking. It's just you're just not in a headspace for it, Peter. But I think when I give it to you, you'll be like, I mean, maybe you just didn't know the extent of the injury.
I'm just forgetting completely.
All right. You want me to give it
by
to
the
me?
Way, I mean, did you consider, you were keeping it four major sports, there was no Tiger consideration?
There was no Tiger. Well, see, that's the thing. If I opened it up to other sports, it would be very, very heavy lifting. Because, like, what do you do with Lance Armstrong? I mean, the guy was given a 40% chance to live with his cancer, but then the PEDs kind of, like, ruined the comeback story. Although you can make the case just participating after going through that would be enough to be on the list. This really opens up a lot of that I wasn't going to go there. But good comment. Good conversation.
Thank you. 99, baby.
So Michael's taking a knee on the football, but the baseball.
99, baby.
If I give the era, Michael, I think you might be able to get the baseball.
All right, give me the era.
Late 60s.
Tony Conigliaro?
There you go, number three. Good pull, Mike.
Wow.
Good pull. Hit in the face with a pitch by the Angels' Jack Hamilton. Crushed his face. Damaged his retina. They said they could hear the thud throughout Fenway Park when he was hit by the pitch. Made the cover of Sports Illustrated with his big black eye. Remember that, Michael?
Yep.
Missed the entire 1968
season. But he was never the same.
Was never the same and unfortunately died very young at the age of 45. He had heart situations. Actually was in the business for a while. When I say the business, the industry. He batted in 69. He came back, hit 20 home runs and 82 RBIs and played until 1975. But it was a miracle he even survived it. They thought he was going to die on the field that day. Tony Conigliaro, number three.
You know what, listen, Don, it's time for me to move on.
All right, I'm going to move on.
I can't think of the
number four.
Give me one second to think of it.
Okay.
Just send your text Rick and say,
what if
90s?
I gave you the team?
Go ahead.
He was a running back.
Wait, I think I got it.
Okay. So you think that
nobody texted me.
Okay.
I'm looking at names. Didn't McGahee have, like, an unbelievably terrible injury? Willis McGahee?
Yeah, but not back then.
No, yeah, in 99.
It was 99?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't make the list, Michael.
Wow, that was a lot of...
99, baby!
A lot of effort
back for your San Francisco 49ers.
Ricky Waters?
No. I'm going to give it to you.
Give it.
No!
No?
Hold on. So it's post-Roger Craig, pre-Ricky Waters?
Oh, this is 99, so this is after Ricky Waters.
All right, go ahead.
Garrison Hurst.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
1,206 yards could have been 10 in 2001 hours. With the Niners after having to reconstruct his ankle after an infection. That is my top five.
Damn it.
John Lester came back from cancer. He's not on this list?
Wow.
Well, there's a lot of cancer survivors.
Oh. See, that should be a drop. I know it's not appropriate.
I'm not being insensitive at all. I'm just saying that it wasn't just the lymphoma recovery for Mario. There were so many other things. He retired. He was gone for, you know, three seasons. You know, so.
But John Lester came back to be an unbelievable pitcher.
True. But was there ever a doubt that he was going to be able to come back? I was kind of going for the... It's like Tommy John, 100-to-1 shot.
Yeah, Mario there was doubt down. That he was going to come back.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Anthony Rizzo, too, had cancer. They had doubt he was going to come back. I don't know. It was a terrible list.
Okay.
Yeah, James
Peter,
Conner,
your
too.
Thoughts.
You mean...
Be honest for once. Don't always take his side.
On the list?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I mean, it was a little, you know... It was challenging. Obviously, there were people I didn't know, but I think it's topical. It makes sense. It was a good list.
Shocking news coming up.
Really?
Shocking news. But not shocking if you listened to the show yesterday. I'll explain when we get back. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple of people on Twitter have said, Don, that you left off Peyton Manning, who had major neck surgery and came back to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Who are you taking out?
Plenty of people. So, Michigan, because of a COVID outbreak, couldn't play Ohio State.
Right.
This Saturday. The rules that they made, and as I said earlier, rules are made by people, so obviously they can be changed. They said that you had to have 6 games played to play in the Big Ten Championship. Without playing Michigan, that was only 5 games for Ohio State. Oh, and all the nerves and the concern. What's going to happen with Ohio State? They changed the rule. The Big Ten has announced that it has removed the minimum 6-game requirement to be eligible for the conference title game. Everyone's a fraud when it serves their own purpose. I mean, the old saying, rules are made to be broken. If it involves Ohio State and the Big Ten, it is.
Well, in college football. If it involves
are no rules in college football.
Right. If it involves college football and big programs, they don't have rules. They literally don't even have a system in place to have winners, to have a real anything.
Right. But in fairness, and I'll be the first to jump the NCAA, you know, these rules were compromised by the pandemic. So, you know... You can understand, like, is it fair, because of the situation that exists, that they get left out, a team that could legitimately compete for a national championship because of not getting a chance to play in a game that they would be a 30-point favorite in if the game had been played?
Now, they're doing the right thing, but it just shows you that, you know, to put it under the heading of rules. First of all, they didn't even want to play the season.
Right.
And then they got pressured into it because the SEC was going to play the season. And it's all about money. Everybody's full of it.
Sure.
Everybody's hypocritical. It's amazing.
But in
plain sight, Don.
Of course. But again, I think but you see all rules are changed because of the pandemic, right? Now, the one school that's got a kick coming here is Indiana. Indiana's 6-1. So they would have probably went in had it not been for this rule change.
But didn't Ohio State beat Indiana? Well,
yes.
Then they don't have a kick coming.
But they're 6-1. And I guess if they had lost to Michigan, maybe things then 5-1, 6-1, they probably would have gotten the nod. They certainly would have gotten the nod if Ohio State wasn't left in. So that's right. A school that you feel bad for. But at the end of the day, they were a 30-point favorite against Michigan. They would have beaten the tar out of Michigan, and they certainly would have been playing in that game. So I would not. It would be really fugazi. Like Andrew said in our meeting yesterday when we talked about this, the national champion would certainly be compromised.
I'm sure Texas A&M is chapped because they're 5th right now. They're going to be on the outside looking in because Ohio State will win against Northwestern, in my opinion, although Northwestern's had a great year. And then they'll be one of the 4 playoff teams. We want to give congratulations to Chris Davidson, Michelle Hughes, and Arthur Savarese. What are we congratulating them for? Well, they were the 3 winners of our Sam and the Fam contest. So we're giving them a shout-out. And we're giving Sam and Dan Grossa a shout-out because they hosted it. I think it was last night. And they said that Sam could not have been better, could not have been more accommodating, could not have been greater. And if Chris, Michelle, or Arthur want to call in and tell us how it went, you're more than welcome to. We'd love to hear. But,
yeah,
again, congratulations on winning that Sam and the Fam that we gave away. And thank you to Sam Darnold and to Dan Grosser for hosting it. Again, I heard it went tremendously.
And good job out of Sam, too. And that's still a great thing. I mean, I just think to myself, if I were not in this business and I was a young guy or just a fan and got a chance to, just trying to think of the equivalent, like, you know, who would be the quarterback, the equivalent of Sam Darnold for the Giants when I was a kid?
Phil Sims.
I mean, Sam's got a long way to go before he becomes Phil Sims.
Well, but when you were a kid, you said. So when he was just starting out, he had been benched by.
Yeah. I would say, would it be insulting? I mean, he did go to the playoffs, Scott Bruner. He didn't turn out to be a great quarterback by any stretch, but, you know, he won the job from Phil and got the Giants in the playoffs and won a playoff game in 1981. So, you know what? I guess it's fair. Scott Bruner. I would be thrilled.
There you go.
Would you,
Sam,
Peter?
Go. Sam, I'll tell you this. Sam may have not proven to everybody what he's capable of on the football field yet. And I hope he shows people that maybe it's a product of the system that he's been performing the way he has. But he has proven the kind of guy he is. And the kind of guy who, even when things are absolutely awful, stays classy. So I think from a leadership standpoint, there are a lot of teams, and we've heard, everyone out there all year has said, oh, Sam Darnold can play the position, play the position. Well, if all these experts who know the game think he can play, he has done everything else perfectly to set himself up to be someone else's franchise quarterback.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, we wish him the best. Another one you left out, Don. Your list is being exposed by the minute. And Peter, you'll have to agree with this.
Go ahead.
Magic Johnson came back to play after getting diagnosed with AIDS.
Oh, you know what? That's tough.
Wait a minute.
That's a tough one.
See, I at least put myself out there, all right? and the fact that you get so excited. You know, yeah, right. No, I'm not even going to defend myself. I'm a piece of garbage. You're right. Move on.
How did we forget, Michael?
Michael thinks I'm an ass and that I put work into this and that I failed. So you're right.
You
get the win, Michael. I failed.
Isn't the whole idea of doing a list is that we could go back and forth? That was an
I
epic
had the
fail.
Conversation
epic
with Andrew,
fail.
But no, but you were like, no, oh, no. My list is getting exposed. Not, hey, Don, did you think about Magic Johnson? Yes, I did think about Magic Johnson. Andrew, did I not think about Magic Johnson?
Yeah, you mentioned it to me before the show.
And I mentioned it to you before anybody else, and I said to myself, here's the issue. AIDS is obviously a terrible thing. Did he have any symptoms? Like, I don't know what it was a stigma to overcome for sure. And the fact that he, you know, Isaiah Thomas kissed him and the whole thing of what was going through of the stigma of having AIDS from a physical standpoint. Did he have to overcome anything that the other individuals that I have on my list had to overcome? That's the point. But clearly it was a tremendous comeback. Was there a reconstruction to something? Was there given odds of not coming back, or was it just?
Well, they thought he was going to die.
Right, no, of course, how ignorant a lot of people were on exactly what he was going.
But if he didn't get the right cocktail of drugs, he would have died.
You're right.
He really takes criticism well, doesn't he, Peter?
Why does it have to be criticism?
He's
why
melted
can't it
down.
Just be fun? I have a top five, and you make it seem like
top five Met players that ended their names
you didn't,
with
you,
a
Michael,
Z.
Michael, when you did your honestly, when you did your top five, effort was not something that would be in the top fives of things that took you to do your top five. Right? I mean, you made zero effort. It was the
top Mets names
that began with Z, and there were only five of them. So
that's right.
Awful. You had a candy bar list that was completely exposed without any kind of effort at all. So at least I put in
the candy bar list was horrifying.
And I can handle criticism, but I don't like the fact that you like to hang on the rim like you're excited that I forgot anybody. I didn't forget Magic.
I know that we live in a time where these drops aren't possible, but Don saying earlier there have been lots of cancer survivors, and I think he just said AIDS is a terrible disease.
These would have made such great
companion drops that we'll never get to live. Don't listen to him, Don. He's just trying to get
your
goat.
He's already gotten to me.
Don't listen to me.
That's right.
Really? That's your advice.
Yeah. Ignore him. He's there to bring us down. That's what he does.
Well, that's a perfect lead in for me to tell you it's the most wonderful time of the year, and the Michael K. Show holiday broadcast is back. This year, we're giving you a chance to hit the airwaves with the three of us, if we're still together by then, with your holiday hot take. Everyone's got them, so fire one off for your chance to win some holiday spending cash and your way on the air during the Michael K. Show holiday broadcast, which is a week from today, Wednesday, December 16th. Dial into the Holiday Hot Take hotline right now at 347-974-ESPN. That's 347-974-3776. Leave us a message with your best hot take. Now, the four winners will each score $250 and a shot at the spotlight during the show with the biggest names in sports. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. Let me ask you something, Don, since you're in a fiery mood. If Tim McCarthy or Ryan Hurley called you up and said, listen, I think we're thinking about putting Michael on the morning show. We'll move Dave on with you guys. Would you be in for that?
No.
But you hate my guts.
I don't hate you. I just don't know why, when I try to make an effort and you just like gleefully, like you can't wait to get to Twitter to see all the guys that I forgot or the mistakes that I made. And
isn't
you're like giddy, like,
hey, isn't
like
that
and make
about?
It seem like, oh, your list is garbage today. Well, you know what? Sometimes I think you're garbage, Michael. There's a lot of things that you do that I just say, you know what? Maybe with an ounce of talent, it'd be better. And I don't say a word and I just roll with it.
Why don't you
but
just
you don't. You're not that
are.
Kind of person.
You are
the worst teammate in the history of anything. You are exceptionally talented, and we desperately need you on this show. But you are the worst teammate in the history of any format, any medium.
That if it requires teams in any way,
right? Anything with a team.
I got news for you. I think this will cheer everybody up. When we come back, Michael, I have there's a birthday that I think we will all want to celebrate and honor this day, and I think it will bring us all together.
I don't think anything will. And by the way, Magic didn't have AIDS. He was HIV positive, which leads to AIDS.
Correct. Well, that was dark for my announcement, but it's coming up.
I think this show's cracking apart at the seams. I think we've been together too long. The success has gotten to some people's heads, Don. And I don't know if I like doing it anymore. So we'll come back. Let's see if I'm here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.